Jews. It was just a pleasure to live under the Crusades and the Inquisitions and Auschwitzes and so on. Well, we thank you, but no thanks. And so now we intend to live in our country, just like everyone else does. I'll be overjoyed to create an organization to help the so-called Palestinians create their own state somewhere in Pakistan. But in the meantime, they have 22 states, and I have only one state. And I have no intention of losing that state. And I really don't give a damn what anyone says.
5 years ago, Meir Kahane was a Jewish political joke in the worst possible taste. The rabbinical crank from New York, the Messiah from Brooklyn, who came to build the New Jerusalem and spent most of his time in jail. But Kahane always said that one day Israel would have to take him seriously.
In a year, I'll be in the Knesset. What was the outcome of this morning?
In 1981, Rabbi Kahane got a miserable 5,000 votes.
I am going to the Knesset. On the way, I'll be in charge.
Kahane's 1984 election campaign went for impact rather than for subtlety.
Orly Dubi. Aharon Gross.
This party political broadcast lists the names of Israelis murdered by Arab terrorists.
Menachem Dadon.
Only Kahane's party knows how to solve the problem. In the name of God and Israel, the Arabs must go. This year, Kahane got a miserable 26,000 votes, but it was enough to give him a seat in Parliament. As an MP, he now has a higher platform to speak from, a wider constituency to cultivate, and legal immunity from the consequences of preaching his gospel of national integrity and ethnic purity.
Knesset Nichbada, Behtem Lechok Yisod HaKnesset,
Meir Kahane.
Kahane's first pledge as an elected MP was that he'd drive Israel crazy. His first act was to refuse to swear the formal parliamentary oath. Even Kahane's best enemies allow that he's no longer a joke. A freak, maybe, born of the unnatural intercourse between democracy and intolerance. But political freaks are never safely disregarded.
First time Hitler went to Parliament.
Jews have the right to this country. Our historic roots are here, and I believe that this is ours. However, that does not mean that we have the right to banish anyone else who happens to live here.
Last week, as an elected MP, Meir Kahane and his yellow shirts went to the town of Umm el-Fahm to brandish his threat in triumph. The ensuing riot was predictable. Umm el-Fahm is a mainly Arab town. A third of the population of Israel and its occupied territory is Arab. Arabs, says Kahane, who must go. By persuasion, by bribery, or at the point of a bayonet. It's a brutalism which invokes the authority of history and the Bible. Kahane challenges Israel with what he sees as the logic of its statehood, challenges Jews with the logic of their faith. The security of the promised land and the destiny of the chosen people cannot permit an alien Arab presence in Israel.
There are people who are not Jewish. They can never rise for the national anthem of this country and sing the words, the soul of a Jew yearning. They cannot ever empathize with a country which has a law of return which applies only to Jews. They will have babies. They will gradually become a third of the country, 40% of the country, a majority of the country. And without war, they will turn the Jewish state into an Arab state. That's one possibility. The second one is my answer, to transfer the Arabs out of this country.
By force?
Hopefully through compensation and their willingness to leave.
If compensation doesn't work and they're not willing?
Through force. The same kind of force that the Poles and the Czechs used against the ethnic Germans in 1945, when after having suffered at the hands of a fifth column, which brought in Hitler, they decided in their own way, never again.
Can you believe that would be the final solution to the Palestinian problem?
I'm not talking about final solutions. I'm talking about a problem that has to be solved. If they're in this country, they will vote the Jews out of a state. If they're outside of the country, they will hate us from the outside. And I'd rather have a distant hating neighbor than a close one.
Kahana's constituency lies in the gap between the ideals and the reality of Israel. Zion was never meant to be a fortress state. It was meant for farmers, for philosophers, not for soldiers. But Arab refusal to accept Israel, their unrevoked threat to strangle the fledgling state, has made a garrison of utopia. At the same time, Jews from Africa and the East, the Sephardim, have brought to Israel an ancestral antagonism towards the Arab, unsoftened by the European experience. A military coarseness sometimes fuses with a racial contempt. A former Israeli chief of staff has spoken of Arabs as cockroaches in a bottle. On top of that, a new religious fundamentalism, the belief that the literal biblical destiny of Israel is at hand. In 1967, war, a war not of their making, brought Jews what they yearned for, Jerusalem and its holy places. But for 13 centuries, to Kahana's fundamentalist supporters, angry and arrogant in the certainty of their convictions, Islam is an intolerable presence, a blasphemous usurper, a squatter faith in the holiest place of Zion.